You know, we talk about Christ being born out into the world, being born in Bethlehem, no place to lay down His head, moving off into this house where we don't know exactly where it is, where people would come just because they'd seen a star in the sky, not because they'd grown up in the church or, more importantly, the faith tradition of that day, but because something had happened in their heart where they recognized there was something new happening here that they wanted to know about. Why would God to allow His only Son to be born out into a world where He was surrounded by people like Herod who wanted to take His life just because of what they'd heard about who He was? Why would God open the hearts of these wise men that we don't even have a clue how many there were to just share their greatest treasures and most unexpected treasures with this newborn king? I mean, after all, who shows up at a baby shower bringing the very anointing oils and spices that are going to be needed to bury the child? That's an unexpected gift. But yet it shows how in the midst of it all, God knew the rest of the story. God knew how intertwined life and death really are. Why would God be willing to go so far? To overcome sin and death and the impact that it would have on our future. We heard a little bit last night in from some words put together by Mark Twain, shared with us by Jim and Diana, of some of the challenges that happened as death began to enter the picture way back in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. And how even out of mistakes that were made and brokenness that occurred, even there, new relationships were being formed that God would eventually use to transform the world. Why would God do it all? Because of love. Because of love that would overcome anything and everything in the world, including death, in the most unexpected ways. I want to share with you a story that I want to read to you this morning. And it's entitled, Because of Love. And the quote that's by an unknown author just before the title of this, it's one I received on the internet, says, life is all about choices. And when you cut away all the junk, every situation is a choice. And when we look back at the life, as we look back at the birth and the life and the death and ultimately the resurrection of Christ, it was all about choices. Choices that Christ was willing to make, choices that God was willing to make, choices that so many others were willing to make, all because of love. And this story, that supposedly is a true story, goes on to tell a story of a brother and a sister that had made their usual hurried, obligatory pre-Christmas visit to the little farm where dwelt their elderly parents with their small herd of horses. The farm was where they had grown up and had been named the Lone Pine Farm because of the huge pine which topped the hill behind the farm. Through the years, the tree had become a talisman to the old man and his wife, and a landmark in the countryside. The young siblings had fond memories of their childhood there, but the city hustle and bustle added more excitement to their lives and called them away to a different life. The old folks never showed their horses, for the years had taken their toll, and getting out to the barn on those frosty mornings was getting harder and harder all the time. But it gave them a reason to get up in the mornings. It gave them a reason to live. They sold a few foals each year, and the horses were their reason for joy in the morning and contentment at day's end. Angry as they prepared to leave, the young couple confronted the old folks. "Why do you not at least dispose of the old one? She's no longer of any use to you. It's been years since you've had foals from her. You should cut corners. You should save so you can have more for yourselves. How can this old worn-out horse bring you anything but expense and work? Why do you keep her anyway?" The old man looked down at his worn boots, holes in the toes, scuffed at the barn floor, and replied, "Yes, I could use a pair of new boots." His arm slid defensively about the old one's neck,
as he drew her near with gentle caressing. He rubbed her softly behind her ears, and he replied softly, "We keep her because of love. Nothing else, just love." Baffled and irritated, the young folks wished the old man and his wife a Merry Christmas and headed back toward the city as darkness stole through the valley. The old couple shook their heads in sorrow that it had not been a happy visit. Tears flowed from the places which they looked. Those tears fell upon their cheeks. How is it that these young folks don't understand the peace of the love that filled their hearts? So it was that because of the unhappy leave-taking, no one noticed the insulation smoldering on the frayed wires in the old barn. None saw the first spark fall. None but the old one. In a matter of minutes, the whole barn was ablaze, the hungry flames licking at the loft full of hay. With a cry of horror and despair, the old man shouted to his wife to call for help as he raced to the barn to save their beloved horses. But the flames were roaring now, and the blazing heat drove him back. He sank sobbing to the ground, helpless because of the fire's fury. His wife, back from calling for help, cradled him in her arms. Clinging to each other, they wept at their loss, all because of love. By the time the fire department arrived, only smoking, glowing ruins were left. The old man and his wife, exhausted from their grief, huddled together before the barn. They were speechless as they rose from the cold, snow-covered ground. They nodded thanks to the firemen, as there was nothing anyone could do or say now. The old man turned to his wife, resting her white head upon his shoulders as his shaking old hands clumsily dried her tears with a frayed red bandana. Brokenly, he whispered, "We have lost much, but God has spared our home on this eve of Christmas. Let us gather strength and climb the hill to the old pine where we have sought comfort in so many other times of despair. We will look down upon our home and give thanks to God that it has been spared and pray for our beloved most precious gifts that have been taken from us." And so he took her by the hand and slowly helped her up the snowy hill as he brushed aside his own tears with the back of his old and withered hand. The journey up the hill was hard for their old bodies in the steep snow. And as they stepped over the little knoll at the crest of the hill, they paused to rest. Looking up to the top of the hill, looking up to the rest of the journey, they gasped and fell to their knees in amazement at the incredible beauty right there before them. Seemingly every glorious, brilliant star in the heavens was caught up in the glittering, snow-frosted branches of their beloved pine, and it was aglow with heavenly candles, and poised on its topmost bough, a crystal crescent moon glistened like spun glass. Never had a mere mortal created a Christmas tree such as this. They were breathless as the old man held his wife tighter in his arms. Suddenly, the old man gave a cry of wonder and incredible joy. Amazed yet mystified, he took his wife by the hand and pulled her forward. There, beneath the tree, a resplendent glory, a mist hovering over and glowing in the darkness, was their Christmas gift. Shadows glistening in the dark, bedded down about the old one, close to the trunk of the tree, was the entire herd. Safe. You see, at the first hint of smoke, she had pushed the door ajar with her muzzle, and she led the horses through it. Slowly and with great dignity, never looking back, she had led them up the hill, stepping cautiously through the snow. The foals were frightened and dashed about. The skittish yearlings looked back at the crackling, hungry flames and tucked their tails under them as they licked their lips and hopped like rabbits. The mares that were in the foal with a new year's crop of babies pressed uneasily against the old one as she moved calmly up the hill and to safety beneath the pine. And now she lay among them and gazed at the faces of the old man and his wife. Those she loved she had not disappointed. Her body was brittle with years, tired from the climb, but the golden eyes were filled with devotion as she offered her gift because of love. Only because of love flowed as the old couple shouted their praise and joy. And again, that peace of the love filled their hearts. It changed their situation. It changed them from the inside out. And you can be sure that wasn't the end of the story. I would have loved to hear the words that they shared with their young children who had chided with them only hours earlier to get rid of this old one who didn't seem important anymore. I wonder about those wise men. They had a purpose. They saw this star in the sky when it rose for the first time, and they wondered what it was all about. And they set out in search of it. Their camels cumbered down with their most precious gifts and most unexpected gifts for a child they didn't know if they would even ever meet. They were wise enough, even though they were men living many, many years ago, to even stop and ask for directions when they got confused. And even though they asked directions of the wrong one, the king and ruler of the land, who was looking out for nothing but his own interests, God faithfully led them to the place that they were searching for. And there, with their purpose fulfilled and their journey coming to an end, they knelt before the Christ, before His mother, and offered these gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. I wonder what questions ran through Mary's mind. We don't know exactly how old Christ was. We don't know how long the journey had taken. We don't know what ups and downs that these wise men had had to take. We don't even know how many there were. But we know that God was faithful through it all. And we know that when they got to that place that they were headed for, that they were overjoyed. Now, when I read those words in the Scripture, I wondered why they were overjoyed. Was it because they had found what they were looking for? Or was it they had finally come to the end of the road? But then I wonder, at what point along the way, they asked themselves, what's next? What am I to do now that I've made it here? They'd been told what to do next. Just like this faithful couple had been told that what they ought to do next, they ought to get rid of this useless horse and hopefully the other ones too, because they were squandering away all the future and a little of the inheritance along with it. But they didn't give in to it. And neither did the wise men. They didn't give in to what they'd been told to do. They didn't go back to Herod and tell him what they'd found. No, God had showed up to them again in a dream. And this wasn't the first time that it happened. The Scripture from beginning to end talks of the different ways that God has shown up in unexpected ways just when people had thought they'd got what they needed. Come to the place of everything they wanted. God showed up with just one more surprise, sending them off in a fresh new direction. Doesn't that happen to us as we journey through life? Look back over your life. Think about your life for just a minute. Aren't there different places when you've come to the end of the road? where you've come to that place, maybe not where everything has been ripped from you, or maybe it was because everything has been ripped from you. Maybe it's because you've come to that place where you think what you've been looking for is right there in front of you. But suddenly you found out you had to ask that question, what's next? How did God show up in that season of your life? What new twist or turn were you let off as you moved into a new season? Think about your own life now. Think about the challenges that you face every day. Think about the things that you bring that bring you great joy. And maybe they're things that people don't understand. Maybe they're things that people ought to feel you ought to be handling differently. I encourage you to ask that question of God, what do I do next? What do I bring to the table next? Lord, where are you leading me now? Because God has an answer for you. Because God has promised us that He would never leave us or forsake us. That He would never give up on us, even when we're not sure what lies ahead. Even when we're not sure what that next step's going to look like. That's what the story of Christ's birth, His life, His death, His resurrection are all about. That not even death can separate us from that great love we have in Christ Jesus, as the great poet Paul said. So where are you on the journey? Think about that question as we move into the week that lies ahead. Share that question with those that are closest to you and understand what you're going through. Because God knows, God doesn't leave us to figure it out on our own. There's a great cloud of witnesses that's gone before us. There's a great cloud of witnesses that surround us every day that have been where we're at. They're willing to walk with us through the questions that come. Join our hearts together in prayer. Good and gracious God, whose love is made known in all kinds of different ways, in ways that we often don't understand, and more often in ways that others around us don't understand, because You're a God who meets each one of us where we're at. You know the questions in our hearts and our minds. You know the joys that rise up in us that we're not sure how to share. You know the questions that we wrestle with every day that we're afraid to give a voice to. But yet, in the middle of it all, Your love is so great that You surround us with those who love, with those who can love us and those we can love every day. So, Lord, make Your presence known to us today in a special way. I pray that each and every one of us today and in the week that lies ahead will have one close encounter of the godly kind after another with You. That our faith would be strengthened and fanned into a greater life. That the fire of Your love would rise up in us in a fresh new way. That we'd be compelled to share it with someone that we meet along the way. Lord, we thank You that You're a God who embraces us when the challenges of life seem to overwhelm us. And so, Lord, we thank You that like a river, Your love running down through time is touching us even now in ways that we can't imagine. And Lord, we ask these things today, looking forward to what You and You alone can do with it all in the mighty and precious and eternal name of Jesus Christ our Lord, the One whom the journey is all about. Amen.